like, take your Bible. We've been looking in reference to the matter of grace and faith. These are two terms that are highly misunderstood, highly dealt with it in a manner that gives us a false impression. We dealt with the matter of grace and the grace that had been given to us by God. There is that grace, as we understand, in regards to the matter of the favor of God that has been bestowed upon us. And that grace is not something that comes at the end of the hunt, if you will, that after everything has already been happened, by the grace of God, we'll be saved. That grace was manifested, as we had found out, in regards to the matter of the very provisions that He made for mankind, that grace, that favor that He bestowed upon us, was one that while we were, as the Roman letter identifies, that while we were weak in due season, Christ died for the ungodly. And so we looked at grace in reference to that, and then moved on to the matter of the fact that grace is trackable, in the sense that when Barnabas came, I believe, to Antioch, he saw the grace, he saw how those had responded to the message of which they had been given. And also we understood that grace in the writing of Titus, in Titus chapter 2, that the Apostle Paul identified when he said in verse 11, "For the grace of God hath appeared, bringing salvation to all men." So God has given His grace. This grace hath appeared, bringing salvation to all men, instructing us. So grace instructs in regard to it. Now, grace does not nullify obedience, but it rather manifests obedience in regards to the responsibilities that we have in Christ. And so that we dealt with grace in that particular realm. All right. So as we consider what we've been dealing with, this is a little slow, so we'll work about this here in a moment. That this grace doesn't nullify obedience, it rather manifests in obedience. The grace of God has been extended. All right, so we got to faith, and faith used regarding the gospel. That the gospel that has been delivered, that Jude speaks of the faith, or the system of faith that had been delivered once for all. This faith, he said, you contend for it. That this faith is used, you cannot take a term and give it the same definition every place that it's used. We don't do that with the English language. You couldn't do that with the Hebrew, nor with that of the Greek. It has to be determined by the context. And so here's a matter of where this faith is the faith or system of faith. We also find in Romans 10, 8 through 11, where Paul talked about the word of faith, and that is the gospel, which must be believed and obeyed. Those two factors, belief and obedience. We find that in dealing with the Pharisees, there were many that of the rulers of the people that believed Jesus was the Son of God, but they would not confess Him because they were afraid they would be put out of the synagogue. There were many people that believed He was the Messiah, but would not confess Him. And so we find that in reference to this, that here's a matter that this gospel, this word of faith, not only has to be believed, that's what it is, but it requires obedience to that word in regard to it. It's used regarding the personal faith, the faith that we have in Romans 1, 16, 17. Paul said, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation." And that it is one that produces faith, faith unto faith, that this gospel will produce faith, and that the faith it has between us, our personal faith. Also in Romans 10, 12 through 17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of truth. And so that's how faith is developed. Paul preached it, they heard it, they believed it, and they responded. That was faith. And this faith in verse 17 of Romans chapter 10, faith comes of hearing, and hearing by the word of God, or faith by the Word of God. And so here's a matter of where the gospel is one that comes from hearing, within what we hear. And it's not going to fall upon us without our understanding of what is being transpired. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 13 through 14, that faith will produce a positive and consistent response. The Apostle Paul dealt with this matter. Now, under this context, he dealt with that of David. And in verse 13, he said, but having the same spirit of faith, and that is the faith that David exercised, he said, according to that which is written, I believed, and therefore did I speak. We also believe, and therefore also we speak, knowing that he that raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also with Jesus, and shall present us with you. And so here is this faith that has been one that individuals have, that we believe. I've yet to find an individual that would not talk about what interested them. What interests you? Is it the gospel? You'll talk about it. All right, that's the point, and that's the point that Paul made. And so this faith, this personal faith that we have, is a faith that will produce a positive and consistent response within the life of individuals. We also find that features of faith, James chapter 2, 14 through 26, that faith does not operate alone. We live in a society, we have in regard to this, that in spite of what the scriptures have to say, individuals will hold to this concept of a faith-only doctrine, that that's all you have to do. And as a matter of fact, they will take only, faith only, and will put it within the scriptures of where it's not there. The only place where faith and only are used together in the same passage is in James chapter 2 and verse 14. He said, what does it profit, my brethren, if a man say he has faith but have not works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and in lack of daily food, and one of you say unto them, go in peace, be ye warmed and filled, and yet ye give them not the things needful to the body, what does it profit? So he gives the simple aspects of what good is your faith. You know, if you tell them, yeah, be warm and filled, but you don't give them what they need, you know, what benefit is it? Even so, faith, if it have not works, is dead in itself. Now, that does not mean we're saved by works. The Pharisees believed that if your good deeds outnumbered your bad deeds, you're okay. Catholicism, the same thing. It's a system of works for salvation. Islam, the same thing. And so you have that, and that's what Paul was battling, was this concept that God owes you salvation. And that's what he's identifying. He does not. Because while we were weak and without hope, that he provided the sacrifice that we need. All right. So he says, yea, a man will say, thou hast faith and I have works. He said, show me thy faith apart from thy works, and I by my works will show thee my faith. Thou believest that God is one, thou doest well. The demons also believe and shudder. So just belief in it, doesn't the demons believe, but that does not provide them with their salvation or their relationship with God. But wilt thou know, O man, vain man, that faith apart from works is barren? Was not Abraham our father justified by works, in that he offered up Isaac his son upon the altar? Thou seest that faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect. Or complete. That's what that term, not sinless, it's perfect, is complete. And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, and Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned unto him for righteousness. Now that's when he offered Isaac upon the altar, or was going to. And he was called a friend of God. You see that by works a man is justified, and not only by faith. That's the only place in the whole scriptures where we have of where faith and only are put together. It's not by faith only. And so that's what we're looking at, what we want to do. Just like grace manifests itself, in that you could see it. All right, the same thing is true in regard to that of faith. faith defined. Hebrews 11, verse 1, we know that faith, the assurance of things hoped for, a conviction of things not seen. All right, what does that mean? Verse 6, pleasing faith requires two components. To believe that God is and is a rewarder of them that seek after Him. You believe He is, and that He will do what He said He would do. That's faith. And that faith is not a blind faith, but a faith that is based upon the evidence that God has given for 4,000 years. He gave evidence of His immutability, gave evidence of His reliability, and the fact that He will do what He said He's going to do. And so faith is the assurance of things hoped for and conviction of things not seen. All right, we find that faith will manifest itself. How does faith manifest itself? Faith is going to manifest itself in these particular areas. We're going to look in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 3. Faith is involved in reference to that of the origin of all things. Those that had come before us, in Hebrews chapter 11 verse 3, by faith we understand that the worlds have been framed by the Word of God. Everything that's made was made by the Word of God. So that what is seen hath not been made out of things which appear. Wasn't made out of what was already there. That God made things. Faith tells us in regard to that of what faith does in the exercise of it. You could see it. And these are individuals for verse 2. For therein the elders had witness borne to them, all right, that they had that faith. Because we understand that the worlds have been formed by the Word of God, so that what is seen hath not been made out of the things which appear. We think about the writing of Peter in reference to what he said about the mockers that would come in latter times. In 2 Peter chapter 3, in 2 Peter 3, he said, verse 2, he put them in remembrance, that ye should remember the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and the commandment of the Lord and Savior through your apostles. Knowing this first, that in the last days mockers shall come with mockery, walking after their own lust and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For from the day that the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willfully forget, that there was heavens from of old, and an earth compacted out of water, and amidst water by the word of God. That's the creation. That God made it all. Right? By his word, he brought it into existence. By which means, or by the same word, the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. The flood, by the word of God. He made that happen. But the heavens that now are, and the earth by the same word that created it, the same word that destroyed it with water, that same word have been stored up for fire, being reserved against the day of judgment and the destruction of ungodly men. And so when we're dealing with this matter of faith, in reference to what it is that God has said that he will do. And so when we think about the creation, that it is by faith because we weren't there. Okay. We have no empirical knowledge of this. No man was there when God created the heavens and the earth. And so it is by faith that we understand that it exists. Now that faith is evidence, the Roman letter identifies, that his divinity is clearly seen, being perceived through the things that are made. There's no doubt that the world, the universe, however you want to gauge it, has a evidence of a designer. And that designer is that of God. All right? So the origin of all things, we find in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And so this is what faith is going to do. Believe that God created the heavens and the earth. It wasn't a result of some explosion that took place. And out of that explosion, some life form took place. And then it's going to take an explosion later on for that life to become all of the different existences that are there. And you're going to have another explosion to identify the mind of man, and that separates him from everything else. How did all that come about? All right? We believe that God created the heavens and the earth. He created it all. He created the beasts that are upon it. He created man in his own image. And it is by faith that we believe that. Faith based upon evidence, not a blind faith. We find 2 Peter 3, we already noted by the word of God that God created it. God destroyed it with the flood. God had also, by his word, he created it. By his word, he destroyed it with the flood. And also, by his word, he will destroy it with fire at the appropriate time. All right? So we find that that's what happened with the origin of all things. So we're going to look, in reference to that, of how is it, how was faith manifested, where you could see it. You could see the faith, which is the assurance of things hoped for, conviction of things not seen. Verse 6, for those that come to God must believe that he is, and he's a rewarder of those that seek after him. And we have a whole list in Hebrews chapter 11 of how faith manifested itself. One of them in verse 4, that by faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he had witness borne to him, that he was righteous, God bearing witness in respect of his gift, and through it he being dead, yet speaketh. We find that in reference to this, that the best of his possessions is what Abel offered. He offered by faith. He offered. He gave the best of his offering. We find in reference to that in Hebrews chapter 5, that by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death. Now, Enoch found favor with God. There was that relay. He found favor, and God took him, translated him, changed him, and he did not see death. And he was not found because God translated him. For, here's why. What's it there for? And that's what we're looking at. For he hath had witness bore to him that before his translation, he had been well-pleasing unto God. So he offered. You have one on the part of Abel, who offered the best of his possessions. You have on the part of Enoch, one who offered the best of life. He found favor before God in reference to that, that he was well-pleasing unto God. Therefore, verse 6, without faith, it is impossible to be well-pleasing unto him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that seek after him. So what is faith? It's one that is that believes God, and that he will reward those that are well-pleasing unto him. All right? So now we have with that of Noah. So we have a whole list of individuals that manifest. That here it tells us how their faith was seen and how it was exercised. We find that in verse 7, by faith Noah, being warned of God concerning things not seen as yet, so you're dealing with this this faith, once again, that had not been seen as yet, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, through which he condemned the world, and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. Now, we find that Noah was a preacher of righteousness. He condemned the world, and that's not a matter of saying that the world is condemned. He condemned the world simply by doing what God instructed him to do with the building of the ark, telling him what I'm going to do. Here's what I'm going to do. And although Noah had not seen this flood, had not seen this matter, he moved with a godly fear and prepared the ark. That's how his faith was manifested. You could see it. When they could see his ark that he's developing there, He was a preacher of righteousness. I don't know what he endured during those years that he was involved within the building of the ark, but you think about everybody else that's on the face of the earth, and they're watching this man build this boat, build this big ark for whatever purpose. We find that Noah operated by faith and moved with a godly fear. Godliness deals with appropriate attitude towards that which deserves reverence. He believed that God is, and he believed that he's a rewarder of them that seek after him. And so we find that in reference to it, that Noah's faith was manifested by doing what God instructed him to do. It was his work. It dealt with the works of Enoch. It dealt with the works of Abel. See, all of these are together, and they are not to be separated by, as God identifies, they're not separated within his word. All right, we find in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8 through 10, that Abraham, when he was called, obeyed to go out. So once again, we have in verse 8, by faith Abraham, when he was called, obeyed to go out unto a place which he was to receive for an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith he became a sojourner in the land of promise, as in the land not his own, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which had a foundation, whose builder and maker is God. He had faith. He looked for what was going to transpire in the future of this city, whose foundation, the builder and maker was God. And as a result of that, when he was called, he obeyed and he went out. And so by his actions, we find that Abraham did as God instructed him to do. And that was by faith. We also find that in verses 11 and 12, by faith, even Sarah herself received power to conceive seed when she was past age, since she counted him faithful who had promised. Wherefore also there sprang one, and him as good as dead, as many as the stars of heaven in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. She did so, conceived by faith, because of what God had said. We find also that in regard to this, in verses 13 through 16, and here's an interesting point. We have before us the opportunity to be a part of the kingdom of God and to share in the forgiveness of our sins. And we have all of that today. What we have, they were simply looking for. And we said in verse 13, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them and greeted them afar off. You believe that God is, you believe he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek after him. That's what they did. We believe that. And they look forward to that. And having confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth, you will be a pilgrim. You're not, this is not your home. You will be a stranger. You will be a stranger to those to whom you are around. All of that's going to be involved in that. For they that say such things make it manifest. Here's that term manifest. Here's the one of how it's going to show itself in verse 14. For they that say such things make it manifest that they are seeking after a country of their own. And so that's the promise. And if indeed they had been mindful of that country from which they went out, they would have had opportunity to return. You find that you deal with reference to this matter, doctrines that exist today of once saved, always saved. Here was a matter of where any of them did. Abraham, any of them, at any time could turn and go back to where they went to. God does not force us to obey him. He does not force us to follow him. He does not force us to go where he has instructed us to go. And Abraham said that for they that say such things, that they manifest that they are seeking after a country of their own. And if indeed they had been mindful of that country from whence they came, once they went out, they would have had opportunity to return. And you have in reference to the matter, the Hebrew letter that identifies these points
of those that were once, chapter 6 and verse 4, for as touching those who were once enlightened, right, they were enlightened, they tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Spirit and tasted the good word of God and the power of the age to come, and then fell away. It is impossible to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. We find that in reference to all of that, that if they fell away, I've yet to been, maybe you have. I don't, you can't fall off of something that you wasn't standing on. Okay? I mean, that's just the way it works. And so here's a matter of where this faith of individuals that had this promise, they kept their eye upon what they could not see. They believed in God and believe he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek after him. They couldn't see it, but they trusted in God to bring it about. And faith manifested itself is what we find within these particular verses. In verse 17 through 19, here's a case of where Abraham, by faith Abraham, being tried, offered up Isaac. Yea, he that had gladly received the promise was offering up his only begotten son. The promise was that through Isaac, one, that he would, his generation would be as the sand of the sea. Isaac had no children. God said, offer him up. Abraham is able to do that, even though he gladly received the promise, was offering up his only begotten son, through whom the promise was going to be fulfilled. How did he do that? Even he to whom it was said, in Isaac shall thy seed be called. And here's how he did it. Here's how he was, this manifested of how Abraham was able to do what he was about to do. Accounting that God is able to raise up even from the dead, from whence he did also in a figure receive him back. He believed that God, who had the ability to raise the dead, that if he offered up Isaac, God would raise him from the dead. Because God had given the promise that through him, his seed would be blessed, that Abraham would be blessed. That's why he's able to do that. Because he believed God, he believed the promise, and that, he, and that God is a rewarder of them that seek after him. And so we find that that was what gave him the motivation, accounting that God is able to raise up even from the dead, from whence he also in a figure received him back. We find that in verse 20. By faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau, even concerning things to come. All right, and so he identified that that was how Isaac had manifested his faith, by blessing Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. Here's what's going to happen. You read in, you have Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You read in Genesis chapter 49 about the blessings that Jacob had given to his sons, about what was going to transpire and what was going to happen. Faith manifested itself in verse 21 when Jacob, by faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph, and worshiped leaning upon the top of his staff. So he blessed them based upon these promises. We find that Joseph, by faith, he gave a commandment. When he was nigh unto his end, made mention of the departure of the children of Israel, and gave commandment according or concerning his bones. He told them, you take my bones and you take them back to Canaan. He knew this was going to happen. The promise was of Abraham that they're going to occupy this land. You're going to have it. And it does not matter how many years pass, they will do that. And Joseph says, you take my bones back with you when you go. And his grave is there, for what I understand, even there today, that his bones are still there. We find that in verse 23 through 28, that Moses, with what he endured, he did by faith. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a goodly child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith, Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to share ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Choosing. Every one of these individuals that were obedient to God chose to do so. Not because they had to, but because they had faith. They believed that God is and a rewarder of them that seek after Him. According, verse 26, accounting the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. For He looked unto the recompense of reward. He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek after Him. By faith He forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for He endured as seeing Him who is invisible. You take all of the wealth, whatever wealth that you might imagine that you could have, Moses had that and more. You take all the power that you think that you might, that you could possibly imagine to have, Moses had that and more. And he gave it all up because he had his sights upon Him that was invisible. Believe that God is and a rewarder of them that seek after Him. By faith He kept the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood, that the destroyer of the firstborn should not touch them. God told him that you put this blood upon the doorpost, and they will not be touched by the death of the firstborn. And Moses believed that. He had faith in God. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians, essaying to do, were swallowed up. We have in reference to that also, in regard to the children of Israel, in verse 29 of where they passed through the Red Sea, we have in verse 30 that by faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they had compassed about for 7 days. Do you imagine that? The Lord tells them, here's the walls of Jericho. Jericho was the first city that they took when they went into the land. And these walled cities, some of them they say that they were wide at the bottom, they came up at the top. The walls of Babylon, I believe it was, that you could take a chariot across, two chariots side by each across them. And so this wasn't a matter of going and pushing over somebody's cinder block fence that they put up. These walls, when these walls fell, they fell flat and allowed Israel in. Now here's the deal. Tells them, you march around this city once a day for 6 days, and on the seventh day, you march around it 7 times. Why silly is that? Okay, to do that. March around it 7 times and then blow the trumpets and the walls fell. And they did that by faith. They believed that God would do as He instructed that He would do. We also find in verse 31 with Rahab. Rahab was in the city of Jericho, and Rahab the harlot perished not with them that were disobedient, having received the spies with peace. Rahab, when those spies came in, she said, we know what you've been doing out here. We see it. We know that we have no hope. And therefore he did by faith. It was faith based upon evidence. And that evidence was sure. And she did as she instructed to do. And by faith, she kept the spies, and her and her family were thus saved. Verse 25 of James chapter 2. And in like manner was not also Rahab the harlot justified by works, by what she did. In that she received the messengers and sent them out another way. For as the body apart from the spirit is dead. Death is a separation of body and spirit. That's what it is. The spirit returns to God who gave it. The body will go to the dust of the earth. That's death. And as the spirit is dead, that the body apart from the spirit is dead, even so faith apart from works is dead. Without works, your faith's dead. And so it will manifest itself in that area. In verse 32 through 40, here's what the writer said. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 32 through 40. And what shall I more say? For the time will fail me if I tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, from weakness were made strong, waxed mighty in war, turned the flight of the armies of aliens. Women received their dead by resurrection, and others were tortured, not accepting their deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of mocking and scourging, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, they were tempted, they were slain with the sword, they went about in sheepskin, in goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, ill-treated. Why did they do this? Of whom the world was not worthy, wandering in deserts and mountains and caves and holes of the earth, all, and these all, having had witness bore to them through their faith, by what they did, by what they encountered, their faith and their works, received not the promise. God having provided some better thing concerning us, that apart from us they should not be made complete. They were looking forward. What we have, they were simply looking forward, had hope that God would fulfill His promise that He gave unto Abraham, and He did. But it was long after their life upon the earth, before when it was that their life was taken. But they had that faith. And that's what the Hebrew writer identifies in reference to these matters. And he goes back, the whole point of Hebrews, of this letter, goes back to the matter of chapter 10. He does that all the way from chapter 1 to chapter 10. He's identifying the superiority of the Lord, of that of the priesthood, of that of the sacrifice, and that of the law. He talks about the superiority of the Lord. And he comes down to chapter 10 in reference to it when he said in verse 19, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by the way which He dedicated for us, a new and living way through the veil, that is to say His flesh, and having a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in fullness of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and having our body washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope that it waver not, for He is faithful that promised. He's faithful. And we find that we have the same opportunity, the same responsibilities within our life to live by faith. But that faith is going to manifest itself in how we respond and what we do. Grace and faith, very important aspects of the gospel, but they are matters that need to be understood for us to be fully able to appreciate what God did for us, and also of what our obligations are to Him. And that's what we have, faith and grace. Appreciate your attention. Appreciate your patience.